This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rockin' Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday to you. Coming up in 20 minutes. Is the XFL quality getting worse by the week? Also, coming up in about 40 minutes, we've got your best audio of the day, including John and Susan weighing in on the Astros scandal. Where else would you rather be? Who else would you want to hear from? Forget Tom Verducci, Ken Rosenthal, Buster Olney. No, you want John and Susan. I know you do.
And you know, Susan, they were banging on trash cans. Last time I did that, it was to scare the raccoons away from my cabin in the woods.
That's coming up here on the show in about 40 minutes from now. Also, today is the 40th anniversary of the gold medal game over Finland for the Miracle on Ice, the 1980 U.S. men's hockey team. So we'll relive some of that with the greatest moments from the movie Miracle. Huh? Huh? See what we did there? All of that coming up this hour on the show. In hour number four, how about this? How about that? We've got David Ayers. Over the weekend, how about this sports story? Over the weekend, David Ayers was the emergency goalie between the Maple Leafs and the Hurricanes. He had to come in for the Hurricanes. He ends up stopping 8 of 10 shots. The Hurricanes win, and he's named the number one star of the game. The guy was in the stands. He's a Zamboni driver. He's going to join us on the show 2 hours from now. How cool is that? 9 a.m. Eastern time, David Ayers, Zamboni driver / Hurricanes goalie. We start this hour of the NBA, Lakers and Celtics at Staples Center yesterday. It was an awesome game. Tremendously well played on both sides. Jason Tatum was a monster, hit 41 points, but LeBron and the Dream Shake gets the win.
Here's KCP to bring it in. It was a huge inbound pass. He better get it in. He throws it into LeBron on the right side. LeBron one-on-one against Jaylen Brown. Lakers trail by one. LeBron back and Brown in. 15-foot follow-away. Good! Huge shot by LeBron.
Every game is his own challenge. And we knew that it was going to be a playoff in atmosphere today. One, because of the rivalry. Two, because of how well they played against us in Boston. They beat the hell out of us there.
John Ireland on Lakers radio, LeBron after the game. So what a shot it was for LeBron. They're down by a point, 110-109, with about 30 seconds to play. And LeBron takes Jaylen Brown one-on-one just beyond the elbow, clears everything else out, and just does a little dream shake. Fakes some baseline, turns around, and knocks down the jumper. And it's a beautiful shot. I mean, just beautiful. And for LeBron James, one of the things that's most exciting as that put them ahead 111-110 with 30 seconds to play, what's most exciting is seeing LeBron play after so much time off last year. He is clearly re-energized. And not to say that LeBron wasn't great during those runs in Cleveland and during the runs in Miami, but look, you know, at his age, having played into the postseason last year again deep, you know what this year would have looked like. It just wouldn't be this explosive. It wouldn't be this crisp. And for LeBron to have all of that time off last year, I think was huge. He finishes with 29 points, wanted the shot, made the shot, and was the difference in this game. But Anthony Davis also was tremendous in this game. Team high 32. And when AD and LeBron are playing like that together, they form the best 1-2 punch in the NBA. And this is everything that the Lakers had hoped for. This is everything. Trade away everything, all of the commodities, all of the resources, just for AD. Because as long as you have AD and LeBron on the same court, anything is possible. It's paying dividends. This game itself was played at a playoff intensity, and you could easily see these two teams playing in the NBA Finals. Now, the Bucks will have something to say about that in the East, clearly, and the Bucks have the best player in the East. So if it comes down to Bucks-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals, who wins, oftentimes it's about who has the best player. Advantage Milwaukee. But last year they had the best player for most of the season in the East as well and did not make it out of the Eastern Conference. Of course, the Toronto Raptors did. Now, Toronto, you could argue, have the best, one of the best players and the best postseason player. So that's a significant matchup, obviously, when it comes to talent versus talent. But in the NBA, yeah, teamwork is great, chemistry is great, but oftentimes the most talent wins. The Celtics are starting to become very dangerous because Jason Tatum's becoming a superstar. The Celtics are fine because they've got depth. The Celtics are fine because they play well together. The Celtics are fine because they're largely well coached. But the Celtics can't win an NBA Finals. And people will point to the 04 Detroit Pistons. Look, the 04, we keep pointing to the Pistons because that's the last time it happened, 15 years ago. It just doesn't happen when you don't have a super-duper Hall of Fame player in his prime, you don't win the NBA Finals. It's just not happening. So we can point to the 04 Pistons all we want, but there's a reason that it's 16 years and counting. You have to have the best player or two of the best players on the floor. Celtics didn't have it, won't have it, unless Tatum becomes that, and he's becoming that. He's becoming that. He was unstoppable through three quarters. Lakers had to change up their defense yesterday in the fourth quarter to kind of slow him down. But that's what makes the Celtics so dangerous now if he becomes that. And look, as he becomes that, you can't help but think about that ridiculous trade for Markelle Fultz by the Philadelphia 76ers. Who knows how Tatum would have fit in there? They're already kind of stuffed with bigs. But Jason Tatum as a player is so superior, obviously, to Markelle Fultz. And Fultz is having a nice little renaissance now. But having traded away a one to move up to get Fultz and allowing the Celtics to take Jason Tatum is a pivot point in both those franchises. And look, the Celtics right now are bearing the fruit of that. And the Sixers are trying to get out of their own way to just get at least home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs and not be a first-round exit. Yesterday could be an NBA Finals preview. Could be. But Tatum needs to be what he was yesterday more nights than not. Because Kemba's great and Jaylen Brown's great and the rest of that crew is great. They can't beat the Bucks. They can't beat any team like the Lakers or Clippers in an NBA Finals unless they have that star that Tatum's starting to become. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. I will say, Mraz, I think the Celtics are very live in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I love the Bucks. Who doesn't? Their style of play is fun. Giannis is amazing. Their coaching is good. This is the second year in a row they've dominated the regular season. But if you're asking me, the Bucks and then the Heat, Raptors, Celtics, that second tier, I don't think the separation between the Bucks and that second tier is all that huge.
No, I would agree too. And plus, now the Bucks are the Kings without having won anything in the East. So they're going to face everybody's shot, obviously, come the postseason. But as far as the rest of the Eastern Conference pack goes, when you're ranking those teams, I tend to agree with you with the Celtics. It seems to be a sense of relief. Gordon Hayward's playing well too. But look, the 76ers have been a disaster now. I'm shocked at what the Raptors have done without Kawhi this year. And I don't know how much, though, without that kind of, you know, cutthroat, killer instinct Kawhi Leonard player the Raptors are going to bring to the table in the postseason. I think the Miami Heat are the live factor here with the Celtics as far as who's going to compete right there to get to the Eastern Conference.
So what's the most dangerous part about the Heat?
Honestly, I think Jimmy Butler is a man possessed. I think Bam is unbelievable underneath the glass. And I think this is a team that before the year, we all figured, okay, they signed Jimmy Butler. What about their young guys? Maybe they'll compete for the
Fringe playoff spot.
But you watch the way they play together as a team, which at a team where Jimmy Butler is a star coming together as a team seems almost unheard of. I just think Jimmy Butler is the best player of the top four teams in the East outside of the Bucks that can go toe-to-toe and kind of go bucket-to-bucket with the Giannis and the Bucks to make them more of a threat in the Eastern Conference Final. More so, the Celtics are more of an elongated, spaced-out team, but I think Jimmy Butler is more of the killer instinct star that you need in the postseason.
So you would take Heat over the Celtics in the second-round matchup?
I would. I think we're looking at Heat-Bucks Eastern Conference Final.
You know, Jimmy Butler will say, well, I saw this coming. This is why I signed in Miami. I don't think he could have seen this coming.
I don't think so either.
I think maybe he liked the concept that Pat Riley was selling. You know, Pat Riley's a really good salesman. It's an easy sell when you go down to Miami. We were down there for a week for Super Bowl week. If somebody down there in Miami Sports Radio would have said, you know what, Mraz, we want to sit down with you. We want to pitch you staying down here full time and you become an overnight show host in Miami, you probably would have said, you know what, that sounds kind of good. Like, you could be convinced really quickly when you're in Miami to stay in Miami.
Yeah. I mean, there's food, there's girls, there's beaches, and there's Bam Adebayo.
So I think maybe he was sold on the vision that Pat Riley had, but he could have not known it's going to come together like this because a lot of those guys have had renaissance seasons altogether and some total unknowns having really, really important contributions to this team that Butler could have never known.
Right. Tyler Herro is a rookie. Obviously, Derek Jones Jr., airplane mode. But yeah, no, they're not household names, but I think Miami is really going to burst on the scene in the postseason. And I think we get a pretty long Miami Heat Bucks, very weird Eastern Conference Final series this year.
But can Tatum be the best player on the floor in a Celtics Heat second round matchup?
I don't think he could be better than Jimmy Butler this year.
Really?
I don't. Now, you know, the next 5 years, sure. This year, I do not think he can be. And he's played awesome for the Celtics this year. Awesome. I just don't see. I think Jimmy Butler has the killer instinct that the Celtics are going to lack.
Sammy Rubinoff, you're a Miami Heat fan. You're a Miami native. You tell me, forget the Bucks, they're the Kings. Out of that next tier, who scares you most to knock off the Heat in the second round?
I think I'm scared most by the Celtics. Although I actually think it wouldn't come to this. I think they need to stay away from Philly. As much as a dumpster as Philly is, I think while you'd have that Jimmy Butler kind of revenge factor, I think the toughest guy for Bam to guard is Joel Embiid of those teams. Because Bam has shown he can do it all, but I think the Heat struggle the most when there is that one big guy in the middle.
I wonder also about this injury to Ben Simmons, and that's very significant. Let's see the severity of this. Let's see how long he might be out. I mean, if he's out for the season with a back injury, forget it. That means that it's a huge piece out of the puzzle. But Joel Embiid playing as dominant as he did last week and saying, I'm the best player on earth. Look, he's not the best player on earth, but at times he can play like he's one of the best players on earth. Could it clear out to where Joel Embiid finally just says, okay, it's my team, it's my moment, and the Sixers all jump on his back because they got nothing else? The Al Horford thing has not really worked, and Embiid just kind of comes and goes. Ben Simmons is going to get further testing on his lower back today. He's not going to play in tonight's game against the Atlanta Hawks. He left the loss against the Bucks over the weekend with tweaking his back in the first quarter, and sources described him as emotional upon leaving the X-ray room at the Forum late on Saturday. So there's some concern that this is a very significant injury for Ben Simmons. The Sixers are the ultimate wild card because they are so dominant at home that as long as they take care of all of their home games, all they have to do is win a road game. One road game in a series, they could win every series because they are so damn amazing at home. They're 26-2. But that comes with Joel Embiid becoming also the best player on the floor, one of the best players on the floor, consistently night in, night out of the postseason. We have not seen that from Joel Embiid his entire career yet.
Yeah, and if the season ended today, they would play the Heat. The team to keep an eye on if Sam wants to avoid them would be the Pacers, just two games back of the Heat, two games back of the Sixers. You would need the Sixers to have a little bit more of a slide without Ben Simmons to get a Pacer-Heat first-round matchup to avoid it.
855-212-4CBS, the phone number, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. We're now through 3 weeks of the XFL. The quality should be getting better. And there are some players that are starting to separate themselves. But is the quality of play overall in the league getting worse? It's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Damon Amendolara came up to me and said, "Do you mind if we go out together on your boat? I would love that. I love the water."
Doesn't strike me as an outdoorsman.
I turn around and I hear, "Oh no."
Did he catch something?
Well, it looked like he caught something.
Yeah.
And I looked over and he did catch something.
What did he catch?
My engine is what he caught. "I don't know what's going on here, but I think I've got the pole stuck on the prop." DA lost at sea.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, boomer! I am an outdoorsman. You'd be surprised. I don't play one on TV, but... oh, yeah. I can do that. I can play that role. 22 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. It's a fine Monday coming up in about 20 minutes from now. John and Susan weigh in on the Astros scandal. Where else would you rather be than hearing the voices of the Yankees weigh in from their canasta game at their retirement home on the Astros?
They were just so friggin' arrogant about it.
I think it's bridge, actually, not canasta.
Okay. Also, by the way, everybody, you can watch clips of the DA show on YouTube. Watch the best of the show every single day. Why not binge mode the DA show on YouTube? Just search CBS Sports Radio. You'll see our clips every single day. Doing More is brought to you by The Home Depot. Everything that you need to do projects smarter, faster, and easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot. How doers get more done. Alexander Ovechkin becoming the eighth player in NHL history to score 700 career goals. Finally broke through. Ovechkin scoring in the third period Saturday against the New Jersey Devils. His 42nd goal this season for the division-leading Caps. There are some things to like about the XFL, okay? Number one, I saw a guy in the locker room over the weekend tearing off the top of a beer can or soda can with his teeth.
Bud Light Seltzer.
He was drinking a Bud Light Seltzer, something that you've enjoyed many times.
I frequented them.
And he tore it off with his teeth. I don't know how you can tear off the top of a seltzer can, an aluminum can with your teeth. I have no idea. So I like that type of ridiculousness with my spring football. That feels like something from the USFL. Oh, yeah, there was this really crazy guy that sold cars or did demolition in the offseason and then tore off cans of beer with his teeth. I like that. PJ Walker's also been the star of the league, watching the quarterback of the Houston Roughnecks run around, do kind of a Michael Vick-like impersonation, is cool. It's fun. And I like the Roughnecks logo. I like their helmet. It reminds me of the old Oilers oil derrick helmets.
Meets the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a little Anaheim Angels cartoonishness, but at least the oil derrick is there. I don't really love the uniforms in the XFL.
That's, to me, been the biggest turnoff.
The biggest turnoff has been the jerseys.
Actually, it's because it's tough for me to... Like, when you see the Vipers wearing those green uniforms, it's a joke. Like, it's... I'm appalled as a football fan.
You're appalled.
Yeah,
it's a spring football league that's run by Vince McMahon. You're appalled by the color of the Vipers jersey?
The original XFL uniforms were kind of cool and nice, but I'm appalled by them. I find them disgusting. I find them disgraceful.
Disgraceful? It's a spring football league run by the guy that runs wrestling.
Yes, but...
What exactly? You want traditional Baltimore Colts, Green Bay Packers uniforms?
What you know is a uniform. I don't need them all looking like the new Tampa Bay Bucks. I mean, that's basically what we have here with these uniforms.
It's a brand new spring league. I have a problem when the NFL looks like that, but this is a spring league.
Can we just look clean? Does everything have to look like I'm playing that stupid NFL video game where you play monsters?
No, to me, they look like, the Vipers in particular, they look like a team from Any Given Sunday, like a fictitious team in a movie.
But isn't that supposed to be what they look like?
Is it? I don't know.
Spring football league.
But the problem is I can't find one uniform I like, and that's a problem.
The Guardians aren't a crazy uniform.
It just doesn't look right. The road grays are okay, the home. It feels like a cheap flag football jersey.
So your biggest problem with this football league is
that... I got plenty.
Is that you can't get into the jerseys.
It makes it very not... we always say these words. Aesthetically pleasing on my eyes.
Okay, well, that actually is the correct usage.
It does. It just... Look, you guys know, I've probably watched more XFL here than anybody. It's not aesthetically pleasing when I see those uniforms. Just the aesthetic pleasingness of it's been wrong.
Okay. Stop using it right now.
You got to know your limitations. Stop there.
Yeah, the play worked. Yeah, do not try
pretty
again.
Pretty after that.
Dem's nice.
Yeah.
All right, but you've now watched enough of it. I did not. Me and the Bourbon Bell doing some home renovation over the weekend. I could not get away to watch some XFL this weekend, so I watched my bulk of the XFL week number one. I watched a little week two. I watched none in week three. What's been the quality of play from week one, two, to three?
Honestly, I can't believe I'm saying this. I feel as if the quality is significantly decreasing week to week.
How much did you watch this week?
I watched two full games, at least three quarters of a third game, none of the D.C. Los Angeles.
So you watched nearly three full games out of the four this weekend.
I sure did.
And not to get far from the point, but you also watched the Ranger game Saturday night. So when are you, like, doing anything else?
And he also has a two-month-old baby.
Right. That's what
well,
I mean.
Well, hold on now. Hold on. I woke up Saturday morning.
Now, wait a minute.
I took the dog down to a beach park, and then yesterday went on a nice family hike, but I made sure we had to get back for the Guardian game. Nice family hike around 11 a.m. up on the North Shore of Long Island. It was beautiful out.
All right. However,
yes.
Each one of those football games is approximately 2.5 to 3 hours,
right.
Correct?
Okay.
So that's 5 plus, let's say, 2. So you watch 7 hours of spring football plus another 2.5 hours of Rangers hockey. That's 9.5 hours of sports.
And I watched all of the Ranger game plus a lot of the Pelicans game Friday night as well.
Pelicans? Did you watch Celtics-Lakers yesterday?
I went with my 2-TV man cave. That was with the Guardian game. I was going back and forth.
Did you put the baby on the floor while you watched these games?
No,
like where she goes when you're playing Madden?
Backward.
No, lot of times I was pacing back and forth. The baby's big on playing with, like, slapping things in a sitting down thing now. So she was good. She was watching the games with me.
We went from aesthetically pleasing to slapping things in the sit down thing.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a baby Bjorn, I think, is what the name of it is.
Okay.
I'm just happy you're not calling the baby it anymore.
Oh, yeah. No. She.
Well, there was just calling the baby the baby.
No.
Right.
My wife had a going away party Saturday. I was total daddy duty Saturday. So me and the baby spent a lot of time watching the XFL.
11.5 hours of sports this weekend. And you would say that the XFL is actually objectively getting worse,
right.
by the way.
Look, and I know a lot of people be like, oh, you love the AAF, you can call the XFL. No, that's not it. The XFL, it's getting worse. There was so much juice around week one and it was popping and the broadcast was great and everything like this. You can even tell the announcers are losing interest now in week three. And the quarterback plays really bad. And honestly, I think what I've come to in watching every AAF snap that ever existed and watching nearly every snap of the XFL that existed. And we had Oliver Luck in here, obviously, Alani. Talk about quarterback
play. That's
going to
be on your Wikipedia one day. Watched every snap of the Alliance.
Oliver Luck was in the studio and talked about how important quarterback play was. And P.J. Walker's playing great, and then you saw Cardale Jones last night fall apart, although I haven't studied the
four
tape.
Four interceptions for Cardale.
Haven't studied the tape.
How humiliating is it that this guy won a national championship and can't throw less than four interceptions against a bunch of spring league bums?
It's really bad. And they made a point of like trying to make a face of the league, and the face of the league was supposed to be Landry Jones, who couldn't even play week one because of injury and hasn't played really well for Dallas. And he was going to play great with Bob Stoops, this, that, the other thing. And what you're learning here is it's tough to have good quarterback play and make these guys the faces of these leagues and have crisp quarterback play when you are playing with really there's an offensive line problem in the NFL. So if these guys can't make the NFL on offensive lines, now they're even worse when it's, you know, sort of easier to push back a bad offensive lineman and get after the quarterback. The AAF had designed a system where you could only rush five guys.
Yes, you couldn't blitz.
You couldn't blitz. You could rush five guys. And if you were watching the game enough, it kind of just blended in with the pace of spring football and the talent level was in. And if nobody told you they were only rushing five, it was actually very hard to notice because it allowed the quarterbacks that weren't that good to be able to make plays. And the quarterback play, while it wasn't great in the AAF, the game survived, and it felt like real football, right? You were watching the game, and it felt like, okay, we're down a touchdown here. Here's a drive.
It wasn't jailbreak every time watching a crummy quarterback throw it up into triple coverage.
So now you're having basically the same crummy quarterbacks, but offensive lines that can't pick up blitz protection or any of that, and defenses that are designed just to get after it and make plays, and it's just causing rush throws, errant passes, not allowing receivers that might be a tick slower than the NFL to get out of their breaks. And I think the design here of allowing defenses to do what they want while trying to make rules that allow the offense to score, you've missed a big component here, and that is your offensive line stink, and it's causing quarterbacks that weren't that great to begin with to look extra sloppy. And as defenses are figuring out and gaining steam each week here, it is causing these offenses to regress and these quarterbacks to regress and thus creating ugly gameplay.
It's been bad. Let's face it. It's been bad. It's got to get better. And luckily, they've got a full 10 weeks to get there and then the playoffs. But right now,
it's not going to get better, though.
It's got to get better. It can't be this bad.
How? These guys are in the XFL for a reason. And now you want them on the fly here to get better?
The Alliance didn't look... It wasn't bad football last year.
It was not bad football, but it also had its hiccups and its blemishes. This is different, and Sean makes a very good point about the pass rush. But my bigger point is all of these guys in the AAF and the XFL have these jobs because for different reasons they haven't stuck with an NFL team. And to ask them in any way to get better now, I mean, I don't know how much room there is to get better in the middle of a season in this kind of situation.
Well,
it's going to get worse.
I don't understand how we can have relatively well-played bowl games and not have a relatively well-played spring football league. I mean, if we can expect two Conference USA teams or, you know, two American teams or two lower-tier Pac-12 teams to play reasonably decent football, how could we not expect spring football to work?
Well, I mean,
there's enough football players in America.
No, I agree with you. I think it's just the idea of, again, practice. And now, if they kept the same core teams together, a lot of the guys didn't come to the NFL and they made it to a year or two, maybe that's when it gets better. But I still go back to my point also on the whole math thing and doing math, right? Really, I'm not trying to make a joke. When you turn on, if you're not starting this XFL game from the jump, right? You're not sitting down, bucket of popcorn, going, all right, I want to watch the Guardians play at 3:00 on Sunday, right? And let's say you've done whatever, like we spend family time, you want to turn on the TV and you're catching a game mid first quarter, second quarter, whatever. No football fan wants to turn on a TV and stick with a game where all you're seeing is nines and sixes and stuff like that on the scoreboard. I'm serious. I think they overthought this extra point thing. I think if you tune into a game and you see the game is 14-7, 10-7, you're like, okay, I could follow this. When you sit down and the game is 13-6 or 9-4, 9-6 and stuff like that. I think the missing of the extra points and all of that stuff.
Well, 9-6 is a bunch of field goals in the NFL and college football. That's not that weird.
But I think it is in the XFL when you have these weird jerseys and stuff like that. And you're just,
you're just disoriented.
I think that is. I don't think, I'm telling you, I think if you're not locked in, you don't know the players and everything like that. When you turn on a TV, That's a lot coming at you with uniforms and scores that you don't typically see them want to stick with a football game. That I think they overthought this a lot. I really do. I think that by then you're just like, I'm putting on Celtics Lakers. I should use numbers. I really do think that's part of it. I really do.
Well, I mean, you might have a point. I don't want to totally dismiss it, but it's not like the 8 points that you can get to the NFL or college football. The 2 point conversion is a really easy math problem
It's not even a math problem. I'm just like the way it'll look on a screen. All of a sudden, a game is 16-9. Like it's not football scoring that you're used to. It's the way it looks. So if you're joining a game mid-pro, you have no idea what's happened, and then you're trying to figure out, why does my score box look like that? What happened in this game to get to it? I'm telling you, it's not good for the casual fan. It's not. You have to be fully invested and want to watch this full game to know what's going on.
All right. XFL, Cardale Jones, 4 interceptions yesterday. That's disgusting. 855-212-4227, the phone number. If you want to weigh in on the XFL conversation, is the quality getting worse? Is it disorienting because of the uniforms and the scoring? 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Andrew Bogish is into your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning again. You discussed this earlier. The sour Lakers-Celtics was great yesterday afternoon after the 114-112 win. LA added veteran forward Markieff Morris. You'll remember that brother Marcus was traded to the Clippers by the Knicks at the trade deadline so they can reunite in L.A. Markieff got bought out by the Pistons on Friday, then cleared waivers. The Lakers waiving the injured DeMarcus Cousins to open a roster
spot. It's amazing. Like, Markieff Morris and Marcus Morris, not only twins, but they kind of fill the same exact role in the NBA.
On the dueling L.A. teams.
They're like the tough guy, rough guy, kind of fringe roster guy, not all that valuable to most teams, kind of valuable to the playoff teams, will do a lot of the dirty work. Like, they're just basically came off an assembly line, and this is what you're going to be.
Right. They're almost too similar. Like, at least I knew that Brooke Lopez was the better Lopez.
Right, yeah.
And like,
right.
And they looked different. Like Robin had a bigger kind of fro thing going on there. Like, Markieff and Marcus do nothing to differentiate themselves, except be on different teams. But that's not enough for me.
They're also being acquired by the same type of team for the same exact reason, yep. The same exact way.
Yeah.
They're either like the last guy traded at the deadline or a buyout right after the deadline.
Because they couldn't trade him in the first place.
Yeah.
On the court last night, the Blazers needed 41 points from CJ McCollum, 32 from Melo to beat the Pistons, 107-104. Portland stays 4 back in the loss column of the Grizzlies for the 8th spot in the West. The Pelicans dropped the Warriors 115-101 behind 28 points and 7 boards from Zion. The Nuggets outscored the T-Wolves 128-116. And the 48-win Bucks clinched a playoff spot when the Wizards lost in Chicago 126-117. But who cares about all of that when Saturday we had the Sacramento Kings,
yes,
and Colorado Buffaloes,
yes, yes,
playing separately, unfortunately. Let us begin our...
So just to reference this, mm-hmm, from last week on Friday, Gary Gerald is a longtime Sacramento Kings broadcaster.
Yes.
This is not a joke. He actually began his career in Telegraph. Okay? That gives you some sense of his age. So we love him because he's really old school, very proper. Then you have the Colorado Buffaloes voice, Mark Johnson, who is explosive, has this grumbling, rumbling voice, and he's really in your face. So we love him as well. So on Friday, you had happened to play both of them back-to-back, and we had some fun with it. The video of it actually got a lot of attention. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, retweeted it, so a lot of people really enjoyed it. So we decided to look at all of the days that these two teams play simultaneously. Saturday was one of those days. So you can take us through this.
So we begin with the college kids and Mark Johnson, Colorado, in action Saturday afternoon.
Shane Gatlin pushes up court, stop and go along the baseline, out of the bucket, reverse layup is up and good. Oh, the hesitation by Gatlin, and he froze a defender and then hit to reverse amongst the big trees inside.
Now, this is early in the game. It's like 21-17 Colorado, so he is off and running early here.
Mark Johnson strikes me as the type of guy that does tractor pulls or monster truck rallies.
Oh, there's a grave digger.
Well, I mean, the idea of calling the big men the big trees inside, I mean, you love that flavor.
Yeah, doesn't that get you into Colorado Buffaloes basketball?
How do you not root for them to make a run?
Yeah.
I've done some research on this. He routinely hunts in the morning before a game, brings the animal with him,
come on,
butchers it courtside while he
brings it right to Trey Wingo's house.
He's throwing out venison steaks while he's calling Shane Gatling hoops. So that's Mark Johnson's first attempt for Saturday. Now the first example of Sweet Gary Gerald.
Yes.
Kings and Clippers at Staples Center.
Fox now working against Kawhi Leonard. To Barnes, he's open for three. He delivers the three, and we are tied. First time the game has been even. We're even at 97.
All right. So now that's a huge hoop. The Kings on the road at Staples Center against the Clippers. Harrison Barnes gets them even at 97, and that's peak Gary Gerald.
So Mark Johnson revs up his monster truck and tears up your tulip bed.
Yes.
Meantime, Gary Gerald delivers your milk.
Yeah. Now we fast forward.
It's ice cold right from the farm. We think you'll enjoy this.
This is second half now. This is a battle, Colorado and UCLA.
Kept alive, McKinley with it. Kick out Gatling, left side for three. Right between the eyes from downtown. The battle for the board and the dagger. That time for the left side by Gatling. And Colorado's on top by nine.
Oh, my God. This is awesome. This is so awesome.
I think Gatling's going to be drafted first overall in the NBA just from listening to Johnson's goal.
Right between the eyes. And his voice is awesome. I mean, he's got this great baritone
voice.
Sounds
like he should be doing NBA Jam.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good call.
Yeah, real-life NBA Jam.
All right, so there's your two from Mark Johnson. Here is number two.
Okay, so here's the duel going back and forth. Johnson versus Milkman. That was another Mark Johnson, now Milkman.
Bogey now rolls toward his right. Screen set by Giles. Gives it up to Harry. Right back to Bogey. Four on the clock. Sets up the tier box. Oh, what a spike! Thrown down by Harry Giles on a perfect feed from Bogdanovich. That was absolutely sensational, and I didn't do the job justice with a call. I'm kicking myself.
Oh, now, how do you beat that? Do you top humility live in the moment?
No, Gerald apologized.
He knew it wasn't a good enough call.
He knows the DA show ears are on him.
And I have to apologize. The milk isn't as cold as I wanted it to be.
Oh, I dropped the bottle coming up the stoop.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So there you go. Two versus two. Wow. Gerald versus Johnson.
The duel right now is a draw. We have to have one final shot taken. Who's it going to be?
Hook pass behind him. Seward, another three. He fires and trades from downtown. Somebody call the Boulder Fire Department because this place has been lit.
Gary Gerald exploded.
That fire department loves him, huh?
Into a fireball. Gary Gerald just disintegrated like it was the end of Mortal Kombat.
Fatality.
Mark Johnson, finish him. The fire department.
He's holding Gary Gerald's spine.
The rest of Gary Gerald
is a blob on the floor.
Disintegrates into sawdust.
One last milk bottle shatters.
Smoking. Smoldering. Finish.
His analyst is like, I don't think I want to, Mark.
Fatality. Gerald loses. Johnson wins. Da, da, da.
So
we have to keep doing this.
Yeah.
I think they also have simultaneous games tomorrow night.
I thought it was Thursday.
Okay.
Later in the week, I think.
Okay. One of the days this week, they've got games of the same night. We have to do Mortal Kombat, Gerald versus Johnson, the J&J boys.
Yeah, Colorado's next game is Thursday.
Okay, so they both play Thursday. Very, very excited. We've got to get this all in before the end of basketball season because the Kings season is going to be over real quick.
Well, in Colorado's, you also have the end, just the regular season ends next weekend. So we've got to hope that they go deep Pac-12 and hope in NCAAs as well to give us more chances of the two of them going head-to-head.
21-7, they're in the mix.
Yeah.
Now, hold on, though. Do we root for a Colorado in the tournament? Maybe they're out their first weekend, and we root for an NIT run out of Colorado.
Now, wait a minute.
No, I think we have to root for deep tournament run.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we're not confident in a deep tournament run, but maybe they can win the NIT, wouldn't Mark Johnson basically basically be going nuts over the NIT?
I think they're pretty good. I think they're like a top three team in the Pac-12.
Well, I mean, they did lose the game that we just played highlights from. So they may drop out of the top 25 this week, but they're making the tournament.
Okay. Right.
They're second in the Pac-12.
Yeah. All right. State. So I think they can make a run. I mean, to me, the CU Buffs, they've got what it takes. They've got the announcer. They've got that guy that you were just referencing before.
Gatling. They have the big trees.
I got a guy named McKinley Wright. Those are your two. I don't know Gatling's first name. You know, one and a half players. And their announcer.
They got Mel Tucker leaving.
Well, and speaking of that, the football program has a head coach finally. Carl Durrell gets the Colorado job. Yeah, not Brett Bielema, not Sark, not Eric Bieniemy. Carl Durrell.
They gave it to Carl Durrell?
And they gave him a 5-year, $18 million contract, plus a bigger salary pool for assistants. He was last a head coach in 07 at UCLA. Most recently, he was the Dolphins' assistant head coach / receivers coach.
This is incredible. Okay, so since he was UCLA's head coach, he's been the Dolphins' wide receivers coach, quarterbacks coach, the Texans' quarterbacks coach, Vandy's quarterbacks coach, the Jets wide receivers coach, the Dolphins assistant coach, and now finally gets another head coaching gig 13 years later.
Pretty sure none of those units have ever been good.
No, exactly. Wow, they gave him the job?
This actually makes now the point that Sean made last week, like punt on the coming year, now makes a little bit more sense if the best you were pulling out of all of those names. And he might do a good job, but this comes out of kind of nowhere.
Well, maybe they did punt on this year. They hired him with
a 5-year deal.
But maybe it was a really easy buyout.
Maybe. $7.
Mark Johnson's cowboy hat.
What else we got for you? The NFLPA and the league's management council have reportedly pushed back the start of franchise tag season from tomorrow to Thursday. Now that window closes 2 days later on March 12th. This as the union and the league is set to discuss that new CBA tomorrow in Indy. And Red Sox second baseman Dustin Pedroia is back on the 60-day IL. His last left knee setback was in late January. They needed a roster spot yesterday because they claimed pitcher Phillips Valdez off waivers. So Pedroia was not even in spring training, just getting shuffled along now as paperwork in Boston.
Just getting his money. You know what? The more that I look at Carl Durrell's record, maybe not as bad as you might think. You know, he never had a losing Pac-10 or Pac-12 record. Pac-10. Never had a losing record. Had basically 4 out of his 5 years, 500 records.
Well, 5 years, 5 bowl games. But for UCLA, it wasn't enough. I think it was 35-27 overall.
That's right. So, okay.
But the problem for me is it's been 13 years. Like, there's a reason why he hasn't been a head coach for more than a decade, right?
Yeah. When we come back, your best audio of the day, and that includes John and Susan and the Astros scandal. You'll have to hear this. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And our toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. Sterling and Susan. John Sterling, Susan Waldman, longtime voices of the Yankees. During the spring training opener, their thoughts on the Astros scandal.
I don't, however.
Here's the 2-1. Cut out of this.
I don't, however, think that this went on in a vacuum. And I'm not... And, you know, this is not, to me, the end of it. And this is going on in more places. This isn't just Houston and everybody else is squeaky clean. I don't believe that for a minute. I'll tell you what I don't like.
It's like steroids.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's just them. I think that, you know, obviously they were just so friggin' arrogant about it that it, you know, that it's, they're an easy target. What I don't like is, I don't like, you know, Jake.
The 2-2. Is pop foul back.
I don't like Josh Reddick's little babies being threatened and death threats to the players. Come on, guys. I mean,
that's the country. There's so many sickos in this country. Who would send a death threat about a baseball topic?
As always, John and Susan doing the baseball broadcast during their game of Mahjong.
The computer has a keyboard like in a typewriter.
I mean, there's just a bunch of sickos out there, Susan. You should have seen one time.
There was a flaming bag of dog poop at my doorstep just because I messed up the Aaron Judge home run call. 2-2.
Judge!
There's so many sickos in this country.
Sickos in this country.
And Susan, they're so friggin' arrogant about
it. They were just so friggin' arrogant about it.
Friggin' arrogant.
Angry?
During a Yankees broadcast.
Yes.
They're calling a Yankees spring training game, and she's saying friggin'.
Spring training opener? We're dropping a friggin' arrogant.
They were just so friggin' arrogant about it.
Oh, my. Okay. Tell us how you really feel.
And you know, Susan, there's just so many sickos out there.
So when we come back, the Lions could be open for business at number 3. And amazing audio of a G League head coach trashing the refs. It's all next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Giancarlo. Non si può stopparlo.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.